Hi people, I'm Somto.
And I am Ayobami.
And this is
Digging Deeper.
Here we go beyond the sermons we hear on Sunday services and our regular meetings.
And we dig deeper.
Everyone,
hello, welcome back. It's been a minute.
It's been a hot minute, like I mean
Nigeria is hot, so literally
we missed you guys. I hope you missed us.
We really hope that you've been listening to the podcast that are
back to back
on all platforms. We really hope that if you've not, please go back right
actually,
now and start listening to them from the very first episode.
Bless you.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, today in the studio, in the house, we have two special people.
Drum rolls.
How do we
insert
drum rolls?
Drum rolls.
These editors never insert any
drum
rolls.
So we have our very beautiful, beautiful sister, our mama in the house. We have with us Sister IBK Ogunubi, looking beautiful, I must say.
Looking beautiful and young.
Thank you. A very, very amazing sister in this house. We would just like you to quickly introduce yourself, tell us, you know, what you do, your years of experience, because all of these are going to tie into, you know, the conversations that we have. Then we'll come back to you. Then we also have in the house with us our amazing handsome brother Christopher.
We are so
happy to have you with us in the house.
Good to be here.
Okay, amazing.
And I'm so glad to be introduced.
Amazing. So, Sister IBK, you know, based on the topic that we are going to review very soon, just walk us through very briefly, you know, what you do. You don't necessarily have to tell us the name of the company you work, but the industry, your years of experience, and everything that you think is important to this conversation.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you once again. Thank you, Somto and Ayobambam. And the parachute house, I feel honored being here today. Okay, so my name is Ibukolu Adebukola Ogunubi once again. Then I work in the telco industry. So basically, I'm in commercial sales operations. So my years of experience, 14 years in the industry.
14 years,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So
that's over a decade. That's HR speak, over a decade of experience.
I started from the scratch.
Wow.
At the technical part of telecoms, basically, yeah. And working in telecoms for the period of 14 years has been, you know, from a child, I can just relate it to when a child was born. You know, you have to learn from breastfeeding, crawling, you know, so that's how my journey has been. So I actually started as a specialist, you know, in the industry. I was monitoring and I grew over the time to the top.
Wow.
Which I'm not yet at the top, but
wow.
I'm still somewhere. And it's quite experience for me, you know.
Thank you so much for that introduction.
So Christopher, you know, I want you to just tell us a bit of your own industry, how many years you have been in business. So you tell us if you've spent maybe 10 years under somebody, then now you have your own business, how many years it has been, and how the journey has been for you.
Okay, good evening everyone. My name is OKK Christopher Chimezie, and I'm into auto spare parts business, and I did an apprenticeship for about 7 years, and I've been in this business now on my own as the CEO for about 5 years.
So we have two people in the house with over a decade of experience.
Actually,
we have loaded people, really.
As in
loaded
yeah.
people.
Wow, awesome.
Okay, go
awesome.
On.
So basically we deal on spare parts for trucks, and we are located at Trade Fair Auto Spare Parts at Badagry Expressway, Lagos, Nigeria. And it hasn't been easy, just like presently, due to the exchange rate and everything. It hasn't been easy, but all the same, God has been faithful. And as we carry on with your conversation, I believe we talk more, know more better about my business. Mm. And as regards the topic, we know much more about it. Yes. So it's good to be here.
So it's good to have you and
Tonto for having us.
So good to have you both here. So just for those that are listening in, we are going to be talking about Christian character in the workplace. So maybe we can call it the workplace believer. That's what we're going to be, you know, dwelling on today. And that's why we've asked them to give an introduction of what they do, you know, and all of that. So our first question really is, it's with regards to like motivation for doing your work. Like, you know, there are a lot of things that motivate people to do what they do, especially for someone like you both that have been working somewhere for like over 10 years. You know, what has been that motivation? We would like to first of all know if there are wrong motivations for maybe handling what your hand has found to do. If there are wrong motivations, we would like to hear what those wrong motivations are. We also like to know what right motivations should, you know, believers have in doing whatever it is that, you know, God has given to them. In your case, you are a businessman. We know you're doing auto spare parts. In your case, you are in the office setting. You're probably like a manager, you know, 14 years in the office. You know, we just want to know, you know, what is that thing that has kept you going. But we also like to explore reasons or motivations for people in the office space that shouldn't be. Yeah, so that's like the first question. I don't know who wants to go first.
All right.
Okay.
I'm into business, and we all know the principal thing of business, of doing business is to get what profits. And we have bills to pay, and we have other things, expenses to do with money. Mm-hmm. So going into business with the motive of making profit is not a wrong motivation, because at least you can't survive without finance. Mm-hmm. to a great extent. You can't survive without finance, and you have to pay some bills and all the likes.
Okay.
And again, people go into different activity or career for different reasons. Some go with because of their passion for it.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing about life is that most times we think that we are not doing things that we are passionate about. And when we eventually step into that particular line of business, we discover that our passion begins to grow eventually. Mm-hmm. Like me, initially, I never wanted to do business, but due to some circumstance and the rest, which eventually turned around for my good, I found myself in the business space. And I wouldn't say I'm regretting it. No, I'm glad that I venture into that part of business. So a good motivation for doing the business I do is that the business I do is, I'm into spare parts business, right? And we know that for a person to go from one destination to another, it needs vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So that business aids transport system, right?
Yeah.
It's a transport system, both in transportation of goods and services. And I would say, to the glory of God, the business has been going fine, it has been going good, even with different challenges. So people go into a career with different motive.
Mm-hmm.
And my motive of going into business is to make profits.
Okay.
I don't, to God's glory, to make profits and to touch life with my business too. Because with my business, to a great extent, where I am today, I know of people that are benefiting directly or indirectly from it. And you know, I don't think if I've gone maybe in the way that I once desired, I will have some motivation to be able to reach out to people I do reach out to in my own little way. If not for the sake that I'm into that business. There are some people that it's not just about the profits. It's not just about the profits. There are some people that you come across in this in your marketplace, and you impact them, not just in the financial aspects. There are some impact that you give to them. Anyway, as we discuss more, when the questions start coming, I think we know about those impacts. there's an impact that you give that wouldn't just be monetary, that might even help them in their lifetime. So even in the business place, you can still make impact. You can still make impact, which is not just financial. Even in terms of spirituality, even in terms of relationship wise, you can still make impact. So I think that's the brief I can say for now.
Thank you so much, Christopher. That was very, very insightful. I mean, you've touched quite a number of the questions that we're still going to be asking, but let's just hold on for now. So, Sister Ibike, can you share with us, you know, your motivations as you are now? You've been in one industry the past 14 years, probably in the same company, right? Okay, you've transitioned sometimes. Okay, great. So, I mean, so what has been your motivation to, let's say, to stay in the telco industry? And like, are there wrong motivations for doing a particular career? How would you categorize that? How would you, you know, talk about those motivations as a believer?
Okay, so for instance, when we say motivation, right? So he has given us an example, and he said that, you know, one of the reasons why, you know, major reason, I mean, it's even when you go to school, they tell you that the objective or the goal of a business is to make profits, which is actually can be a motivation. But, you know, is there something bigger than that? Is there something bigger? Because some people say, okay, it's because they pay me well. In the event that you're not making profits, would that stop you from continuing what you're doing? The event that certain factors change, is there something bigger? So we saw from Christopher's answer that, okay, yes, he wants to make profit, but he has also seen purpose of how he's trying to make people's lives better. He has formed relationships by means. He has impacted lives. So that's something that can keep him going even when the chips are down. I hope that's the correct phrase. Chips are down.
Okay. Wow. You know, for an entrepreneur, that's for a business owner.
Yeah.
Actually, they're not the same thing anyway. You have a goal. Why entering into a business? You know, some people enter, they want to make profit, but along the way, they found purpose. But for a white collar job, I started my job like when you finish your school, you have to start a job.
Yeah.
You know, and the most important thing is that you find a job that is aligned to what you study.
Yes.
I know what I want to study. I'm sorry. This is what I study, and I think I have to go this way. Okay, so for what I studied, this job that I got was not even what I wanted to do, even though it's still engineering. But I found myself there, and I think I love it when I started, because I was always talking to people. It's part of what I was doing as a believer, talking to people, outreach. So when I speak to engineers, I have to speak to a lot of people. So speaking to them at times, you know, just to even know how they are doing, it's not just the work. It's about how are you? How's your family? These are guys on field that you really understand what is going on, because your cell phone, when you're making all those midnight calls, when there is a call drop, that site is down. Maybe the generator is down. You have to call someone around 1 or 12 midnight to go there and power up that generator. And at times, these guys' workstations are not where their family are. So you can imagine what they are going through at that particular time. So I like to ask, like, how are you? When are you going back home? You know, one way or the other. It was exciting to me, because I think if I cannot reach out coming to church or anything, I can still reach out to people via the phone, you know, asking how you're doing, how are you guys, your family, one way or the other. So actually, that actually motivated me. It did. Even though at a point in time, I wanted to resign. I was tired. And guess what? Because I had a bad boss, you know, so even when you're motivated, there are challenges that comes with the motivation. So do you still want to push through? Do you still want to move on? Are you sure you're being fulfilled with this, what you're doing presently? So you need to be sure that there's fulfillment in this. Why am I into this?
So I would like to ask, I mean, I hope that we can answer this question briefly, right? It's at the ending part of this question one, right? So, I mean, as somebody who, let's just say, somebody who just finished from school, maybe secondary school or university or something, the person says, oh, well, Chris, oh, Sister IBK, I want to work. You know, and you ask the person, why do you want to work? Like, do you, like, what kind of answer would you be expecting as a believer? Like, what kind of response do you, because now why it's very key is because, I mean, we have a lot of people, young people, who are working for the money. You know, yes, we know that profits, everybody wants to earn money, right? But we also know that this particular drive for money has put a lot of people in, you know, sticky situations, right? So if a young person comes and say, ah, I'm doing my BS now, I want to work, I want to work, I want to work. And you ask, okay, what do you want to do? And why do you want to do it? Like, what kind of answer would you expect? So what kind of, what is the right answer to give? Well, it might be a broad answer, a generic answer, for example, what would you spot that will make you say that this person does not want to work for the right reasons? Because there's something off here, there's something going off here. Or someone comes to say, I want to learn a business under you now. What would you, you know, pick and be like, you are not ready. Like, this is a wrong reason to want to learn a business. Anybody can answer.
At times, it goes deeper than even the response. Your body language says a lot.
Okay.
Do you understand? Even your, apart from body language, which is about 90% of your communication, even your commitment in church says a lot. I know you, Sumso. I know you, Ayobami. So when you are being motivated by money, your commitment in church will reduce because you'll be looking for a job. That's why I asked my husband. I've not been seeing Sumso in church. What's going on? Do you understand? So there are a lot of red flags to let you know that this person is not really motivated
by the right things.
By the right, yes, there's a lot, especially when it comes to the person. If you know the person,
shift in value system.
Yes,
sure. Okay. That's the other point I want. It can be trust the value system. My friend, I roll with Sumto. At the end of the day, you don't see me rolling with Sumto again.
Mm.
Do you understand? So you know that there is something somewhere. There's a red flag somewhere. So basically, for me, that's it.
You have anything to add to this?
Okay. Adding to what she said, imagine someone coming to me that, hey, I want to learn a business. And the next thing you are saying is that, hey, I see people doing business are riding so big cars and the rest. Mm-hmm. Next thing, I will just look at you like, I'm not actually ready. Because if you are ready, you need to, number one thing that comes to your mind is that you need to be humble. You need to be humble. The words that will be coming from your mouth, maybe you are thinking very far. Without you have to start from the bottom side of a tree to climb the tree before getting to the top. So when you start giving a point like you need the money sharp, something like that. You need the money sharp, as in you want to really make it. It's not bad to make it, but imagine a person that comes out, okay, you see, I have so many responsibilities to handle and I have to pay such bills. You can consider. But then again, if the person comes like to my personal business now, if the person comes like, okay, I really want to learn this business. I want to know about this business. You know that, okay, this person actually really wants to know about this business. And knowing about this business, we open doors for you to get profit of the business. Because once you know about it, you get the profit. But once you come and you are saying that, okay, I want to know the secrets of getting the profit of this out of this business, it shows that you don't want to learn. And in such situation, you discover that even most times, some graduates, they come to our trade fair. You hear of something like, okay, some men from the East, usually they are usually rich men, and you discover that one boy from the village just comes to the village and to the town and gets money and is employing a graduate.
Yeah.
So most times you discover that most graduates, most times they are not accepted in the business because they are not ready to settle down to be able to learn the business. And you discover that there are some things that maybe you are instructing. Maybe at that time, self, that's when the test will even come. Okay, please give me that this thing. You are drawing your leg in the ground. You don't know that the person is actually testing you. They wouldn't even ask you about anything. You just are drawing your leg on the ground and you bring it, you are pressing your phone. Like, yeah. how can we move with this kind of mindset and everything? So, humility is very key. And just like as she has said, and also this born again thing, I've heard about somebody that said that once you come to my shop and I ask you to describe yourself and you tell me you are born again, I'm not picking you.
Wow, interesting.
I'm not picking you. Once you just tell me you are born again, I'm not picking. But most times it's anyway, I think I'm moving to the next question, but let me just run I'll tell you the reason when we get to the next question. So it's about humility. Is the person humble to really, does he or she wants to learn, or is just there just for the money? Because it's not every time that we businessmen even gets
money
gets profit. So when those times that money is not coming, what will not be your driving force?
Means
I might be at my workplace and 2 o'clock you have not even come to shop and the rest. And because there are seasons to everything.
Yeah.
There are seasons whereby profit will be coming. Maybe that's the season that you came and you are not applying for the job. So when those seasons where it is not like a drought season, what will become of the business? Will you run away? Will you abandon the business? Will you feel reluctant concerning the business? So that's my answer.
Just going to leverage off your last statement from example to move on to the next question. Now you started an example of somebody who says that if somebody comes and says he's born again, right, he's not going to give you a job. So I'm going to ask, I'm a believer, so are you saying that people should not know that I'm a believer at work generally? That's the next question. Like, are you saying that it's not important for people to know in my workplace that I'm a believer? Is this something that I should keep to myself? Right, because it's seeming like there are pros and cons to this thing. So I mean, just continue from your example.
Okay, people assume things based on their experience.
Yeah,
you might you might employ a particular person, and the person is showing you all the religious behavior and the likes, and all of a sudden you discover that maybe money is missing, only to discover that is this person that carries the biggest type of Bible and place in this table whenever it's in the workplace. And the next thing, whenever anybody is coming again with that maybe dry and that appearance, you automatically in your mind you have already canceled it, like, no, this person is not going to be accepted here. So most times it's based on their experience of what's the people that team themselves believers have done, and they has created that mindset in that work area. I remember telling a person that while I was serving, I used to carry Bible in my pocket.
Yeah.
It wasn't because I came to Lagos that I've been doing it. I used to carry Bible. Even now that I'm on my own, I do carry Bible in my bag. So he told me that that Bible safe was a red flag.
The person you serve.
No, not the person. The man I was discussing, he said the Bible was a red flag. That if my boss saw that Bible, we even start suspecting me.
Wow.
That the Bible was a red flag. I was not like, okay. Because actually, it's true. Many people actually pretend.
Yeah.
They just go in the back of those religious distance to pretend. And then again, your question is it important for people to know that you are a believer and the rest? You don't actually, there are some things you don't need to prove. Your lifestyle will just portray it.
Okay.
Yes, your lifestyle will just portray it. It's good to have a standard.
Yeah.
It's good to have an identity. So when people don't know your identity, when your identity is not real, when your identity is fluctuating, like it's not in a particular place, you don't hold on to something, people cannot refer you to anything. Like me, to the glory of God, okay, everybody's listening to this. I did not take my boss one kobo throughout serving for 7 years. And then there was one thing that also motivated me while I was still serving. There was this trust that he had in me. I don't know to an extent, because there's a particular customer that whenever he needs market, my boss will just tell me, okay, go and inquire for this market, the whole type of market. When you inquire, write out the price and give you money to go and get it. So I do the same thing. I write it out and I sell leads to this particular customer at the price that I wish to sell. And I write out the price I sold it. I write out the price I bought it and write out the profit I made out of it. and I also bound the prophet and kept in Israel. So that trust alone gave me motivation. Though I don't know if he actually believes that, okay, I'm actually doing this freely without taking anything. So you might think that you are doing something free of charge for somebody and not knowing that the person is thinking that, oh, you are gaining something out of it. But the good thing about it is that even after the whole apprenticeship stage and level, this same person still calls me and the relationship continues.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people that even before now, I'm serious in their business when it comes to their supplies of their business. And after my apprenticeship, this thing, because the thing has two sides to it. After my apprenticeship, this thing, you call them, oh, I'm free now. They'll tell you that I'll buy from you. There are some people that after many years, they won't even buy. But one day, when they remember you, you'll be shocked. So it is good to go back to the question. It is good to have a standard, to have an identity. So that there are sometimes that in your workplace, when they are discussing about, okay, we want to carry out this thing, we know that it's not right. But this particular person must not hear it.
Yeah,
that's to show that you have that identity. You have that identity. You don't need to show them you are the Bible, and because you have created that standard that this is my life, this is who I am.
So there are some things they won't
so
bring to
there
you.
Are some things they will just say this person shouldn't hear about this, because once it hears, the whole thing has already failed. So it is good to show your identity. You can pray normally. You can pray. People can make mockery of your prayers. You can bring Bible to workplace, but you have to know, because in some white collar jobs, they do have what's it called? I think articles of association or something like that.
Yeah.
That's how the company is being run.
Yeah.
But in maybe secular job, right? They don't have such documented laws and rules. So maybe a time that you are supposed to be supplying markets, you are reading your Bible just to prove that you are a believer. No, you want to drain that person's business. You are causing havoc to that person's business. But if that time that you are supposed to eat your food, you are reading your Bible, that shows you are actually sacrificing your time, not the person's business. So that's why most times people don't actually embrace those facts, embrace when somebody comes in that religious outlook, appearance, and they are looking for a job. Most times people don't actually choose them for it. So they actually choose attitude, they choose maybe potentials to those religious outward appearance and the rest.
Okay. Okay.
That's my take.
Thank you so much, Christopher, for that. So, Stai, because I want to see how it is, you know, in the
corporate
world, because you are 14 years, you know, like, so those are your values. How has it been? Is it important, just like we asked?
Yeah, those values are important for me. For me, I'm not the kind of person that receives Bible or anything.
You're not the kind of person that
I'll be carrying Bible or something.
Okay.
But when I speak, no scripture might come out. Do you understand? Because at times, what would the Lord have been doing in this situation? You don't even know when, you know, you said it. You understand? But there's no way I speak. I talk. I'm not ashamed of who I am. Do you understand? So I can even give you an example. I think we've been talking about how we started, what motivated us then.
Yeah.
But now my motivation has changed. You know, at that time I was talking to a lot of people, and now I've built a lot of relationships. So I have that relationship. So when I was taken to the new department, they really don't know me there.
Yes.
Do you understand? So I just sit, do my job, go home.
Okay.
So my birthday now, they sang at birthday, you know, normally, and next thing they said, what's the other song that we normally sing in parish?
God be with you.
Oh,
happy birthday.
I'm telling you, and my boss is a Muslim.
Okay.
Someone, they don't sing that
in the office
at all. So the guy did. And my boss was like, is that not what she wants? Do you understand?
Yeah.
So, and my boss too sang along, you know. My boss sang along. Do you understand? And I was, later I went to look at the videos. He didn't share that. Excuse me, what happened? Yeah, so at times when you just have to, like you said, you just have to have an identity. Let them know this is who you are. Mm-hmm. The answer, by the time he gave me a job, he said, look, I gave you that job because it's 666. You help us to use Bible to, you know, is there one thing? But yes, I just looked, I was like, how did this man know that I love the Lord like this, you know, and things like that. But I don't know. I don't know, but I just have to, one way or the other, the way I behave, the way I talk, the way I carry out my tax, you know, everything. So, to me, it's not by carrying the Bible, it's about the by doing. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? What you learned all this while. There's so many things I've learned, you know. It's about doing the talk. It's not just talking and talking and talking. You just have to do it.
Yeah.
If the Bible says this, do it. We're not saying you shouldn't preach the gospel. It's not nowadays, it's not even by preaching, it's about your way of life. Is by your way of less talk. Sure, people don't want to hear some pastors again because Jansen, but the most important thing is for you to do. We are not all perfect, but do what you have been taught. There was a time Kachi took a particular, I've forgotten the topic, and I asked him that why is it that when people, I've seen people that leave this place, and the way they behave in the corporate environment is horrible. And I guess Papa responded that they were not really genuine. While they were here, we were all doing all these activities and everything, that their mind wasn't really here. It wasn't a genuine encounter. It was just like, this is just a time. Let's come to church. Let's flow along. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? So, there is a part of you realizing that this is not a joke. Do you understand? This is not a joke. When I get to the secular, when I get to the official, I really need to practice. Because people are not watching me because I'm not in the church preaching or something.
Yeah.
Does not mean that people are not watching you. You just told me that you knew Debbie, someone.
Exactly. That works.
I can tell you that there was a day that get annoyed me.
Wow.
And I went to meet her in the bus. And I told her that I'm sorry. She's foul, as a foul when it comes to our role and level. It's very far. But I went to tell her that I'm sorry because I would not have peace.
Yeah.
You know, so when you have the Holy Spirit, there's no way, one way or the other, are you working in the office. The Holy Spirit will prompt you. It always prompts you that this is how you should go about it. There are times that maybe, you know, you might have your flesh, you know, and things like that. But the thing is, just do what you have read in the Bible, you know, and it should be fine. Not in my office now, we do prayers. What we don't do is an Islamic company. Yes, so we do prayers in the office, and at times I became kind of romantic. At times I wonder, why are you calling? I know I have conversation, one-on-one conversation with some people, you know, when you know this person has the same thought pattern and everything, you know, with you. So the most important thing is that ensure you are diligent in your work. Like the scripture says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it well, you know. All those scriptures, when you're in the houses, ensure all those things are applied.
Yeah.
They are applied. So it will not take anybody to say, this person actually fears God. There are times that, okay, my present role now, it deals with money. I don't count money, but it deals with figures and things like that.
Yeah.
I have to ask. That's that. I don't think this is, I'm not sure this is really, really how I should go about it. They said, no, if you don't read the contract.
Mm.
Okay. So when I read the contract, my boss explains, this is what the contract is saying. That doesn't make it wrong, but this is contractual. You understand? So there's so many things you might just be thinking maybe there is a challenge when it comes to as a believer, maybe there's a double standard one way or the other. But like someone will say, God will give you there's a way to say this word. The way of expectation. How did you know it's just very bad?
Yeah. Why sink?
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
God will give you a way of escape one way or the other. And yeah. All the time, maybe a long time, I have to speak with my inner that, how do you do it? You are even in the financial part. I'm not sure that everything is that rosy, like, because it's in the financial, they do tax, you know now.
Yeah.
And all this is, I'm like, how do you go about it? They explain so many things to me. So as at that period, I was a little bit calm, because a lot of people too are facing the same thing you are facing as a believer. So the most important thing is talk to people as well.
Yes.
Talk to people as well. Talk to your fellow believers. How are they going about this? And I think that's one of the purpose of this podcast that we're doing. You talk to people and ensure you just do what you have been told to the scripture.
I mean, if there's something I've gotten from what both of you have said, right, is that it's not really about being religious. It's not about carrying the religion on your head and I'm a Christian, oh, hey, everybody, and, you know, it's an announcement and everything. It's more about, you know, letting the spirit of, you know, our faith have really, really worked in you so that your character shows that you are actually a Christian. And as you were speaking, my mind just went to 2 Corinthians 3 that talks about us being living. Exactly. So, I mean, that, you know, people around should be the ones to see us and say, okay, this person is a Christian. But I mean, from what you guys have said, right, it's almost like, oh, there are no cons to this. There are no cons to having a stand and identity. You know, are we saying that there has been no situation where the fact that you were a known believer, right, you know, put you at a disadvantage? Or are we saying that regardless of disadvantage, you know, so we still stand, you know? I don't know if any of us wants
you
to
have any
very
example
quickly want to touch on that. Anybody? Just one person.
Yeah, I think that's the last question.
No, actually.
No, we are not in the last question. We are trying to know whether there are disadvantages of people knowing that you're a believer. I think he mentioned the fact that that man does not employ...
You can be excluded from certain activities.
Yes.
You can be excluded from certain situations.
Yeah, like if they want to gist about something, they won't bring
it to your table.
Okay. Yes.
But, yeah. Anyway, those are biases in the office, which to me, they are not meant to be. Because someone is a believer does not mean that you should not include the person in some certain way. They are actually biases, and which is actually against the policy of the company. If you are working in a proper structured company, do you understand? Because it's a bias. Is there anything, except if the person has a bad character? He mentioned something about maybe the person talks a lot and everything. They might not want to pick the person into the project, or they might not want the person to be part of. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it still boils down to who you are. Do you understand who you really are? Even if you're a believer and they know you're a believer, that to me, that doesn't stop. It's just like I'm female now, and among the management team, maybe we are two females and they want to do something and we are excluded. No. Do you understand? Those are the little biases. I see it as a bias. But if the person has a negative attitude, if the person has a negative attitude, obviously you'll be excluded. Yes, so the most important thing is for you to ensure that you are doing what you are doing, and you are doing it well, along with what the word of the Lord says, basically. So that's That's my take.
I totally agree. But like what I think the example that Christopher was trying to give was, you know, for instance, if some people are planning to do something wrong, maybe they're planning to do something bad and they know that you know your stand, there are some matters they won't bring to you. And some people, the reason why they even hide their identity is because they want to feel among. They want to be part of what God has not called us to be among, but to set ourselves apart. Exactly, just like Evami shared one time, that we are not to conform to this world, but we're supposed to be transformed. Sometimes that loneliness of, oh, maybe there is a clique in the office because they feel I'm a Christian, they don't involve me in maybe all these parties, drinking, you know, sleeping with women, stealing, they will not involve me. So there are some conversations that people would remove you from just because of your faith. So I think what she was now asking is if you have any example of maybe it has been something that has now maybe, for instance, maybe they were supposed to promote you, but because you stand for the truth, is it possible?
I mean,
are there instances
where they will frustrate you because they know that you are exactly
a person. It happens in some organization. So she's actually right.
Yeah.
But it actually happens. A lot of people... there are even some ladies that are believers that their boss will be asking them that
to sleep with them.
You know, so it actually happens. That we deprived of what you are meant to have and everything. It actually happens. Yeah. It is. I have a friend it has happened to.
Yeah, but that does not mean you should now say I'm going to hide my Christianity. Yes. So these are some of the persecutions
that
we face.
Yeah, there are persecutions and that period is not a good time actually, because you have to, you know, when the fruit of the spirit, when you call it patience, it's a serious long suffering.
Yeah.
You know, it's just said I'm done, but
when
you see people that think this has really happened to, it's not a good thing at all.
Welcome back from the short break. I hope nobody has dropped their phones because of the break. So, I mean, the conversation has been really insightful. We have learned a lot of things. We have learned, like, you know, just having the right motivation towards entering any job. And everything is not about money. Yes, it's good to make profit. It's good to have, like, a source of... Is it a source of income? Exactly. But, you know, money is not everything. I love one of the scriptures that Sky became mentioned. So whatever your hand finds to do, you know, you do it with all your heart as though you are serving God, because it is God you are serving. So there's a lot of reasons or motivations for us, you know, carrying out our job safe and not even, you know, things change. Your boss might be wicked. You know, the money might not be enough. There are a lot of factors, but, you know, beyond just the outward things, there must be like a purpose that, I don't know how to explain it, but just not necessarily a purpose you find in your job, because it may not be that, but just a, what would I call it now? I don't even know what to call it.
Something that will motivate you.
Yeah, just something that keeps you going, especially because, like, you know, just in terms of your work with God, just something that just keeps you going, even through it, which is more than maybe money or whatever. And, you know, we also spoke about, what else did we speak about? You know, it's good for people to know that you are a Christian. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Yeah. All right, so Evami will usher us into the last question.
I mean, you know me, I like to leverage on past statements and examples. So I'm just going to take us a bit back. I know that there was one, I don't know if it was a Bible study or sermon that we had in chapel in one time, and maybe would attach a link to that somewhere in the description of the particular podcast so that people can go back and reference it. And we mentioned there was this conversation about profit in the marketplace, right? And it was like making money off your goods, right? As a believer, at what point should there be a balance? Like, how can you, I mean, people were of the opinion that you cannot be a businessman and not be fraudulent. Do you understand that? You just have to add it's all about profit. So if I have my goods, I bought 600 naira, I can decide to sell that good for 1 million naira. It's my decision. There's nothing fraudulent about it. I can decide to do whatever I want to do. And, you know, on the part of the 9-to-5ers, they were like, you know, sometimes in handling money, there are gray areas that you just have to do it, even though you know it's wrong, but your boss will just say, no, it's not your job to think for the company. You know,
yeah.
you know that you are ripping off your client. You are well aware that this thing is not legally, whatever it is, yeah. Financially, it's a wrong thing, and it can actually put the company in trouble if they are caught, right? Yeah. But, you know, they'll say that, you know, now who they catch be thief. Do you understand? Mm. So, I mean,
professional thieves. So.
I mean, what are the common challenges that you face in the work, in your office, in marketplace, you know, that seems like a temptation, right? And how do you overcome these things? You know, how do you stay in line with God's instructions? How do you set a bar? How do you say, okay, you know what? This is the truth. And obviously, people will say, that guy, you know, he's not doing the right thing, or he's not wise. He doesn't want to be a millionaire by 30. Let me give us a very interesting nugget. There's something that is called, this is very interesting. Just do some research and just, if you're listening to this, there's something called the Forbes Under 30 to Prison Pipeline. So in the past few years, there have been quite a number of people that were celebrated as Forbes Under 30. Few years down the line, they're going to prison. Yes, wow. More than 1, 2, 3, 4 people, you know. So just on a random day, if you're left with it, just Google and search the 432. So, I mean, there's pressure to perform a certain way. So as believers, how do you handle it, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, I think one of the things is, era period. One of the things that is common, I think it's still common now, is that there are sometimes that maybe customer comes to your shop and requested for a particular goods, and maybe this customer is coming from a company somewhere as a representative company somewhere. You sell these goods for the customer like 5,000 naira.
Yeah.
The customer is requesting that you put like 10,000 naira. So
exactly.
In that
on
place,
the company receipt.
Yes,
okay.
In that place,
okay,
sometimes
okay, yes.
in some shops, what they do is that some of the workers there, they have their own separate invoice. And before they can manipulate that figure, they have their own percentage there.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So most times you have to think back on what is driving you in what you are doing.
Yes.
What's your purpose? Like me personally, I don't know about Daniel before I had that in mind of making a decision that going to Lagos, I'm not going to touch anybody's one kobo. So just like Daniel decided in his mind that he's not going to eat from the king's delicacies and the rest.
Yeah.
So he made up his mind. So if I had had that, if I had not had that mindset or something like that, and I am in that particular setting, I'm going to benefit at that particular period. But those things, they are very challenging, because when maybe you are in that setting and everybody agrees to that, what is going on, that they should manipulate the invoice and increase the figure, and they now have their own percentage. When you are in need of something, you are in need of maybe money, and you ask from them, they will call you if you are, as in, they are not going to give it to you. You are claiming holy Abby.
Yeah.
Use your holy. Manage the one that you are getting as salary or as your feeding money. Mm. So you are going to manage it like that. So it can be very challenging. But one of the things that I thank God, even right from my days of apprenticeship, I used to watch this pastor, what was his name? David Ibiyomi. And one of the topics that really struck me then was living an exceptional life. So it was a very good topic then that actually kept me going, living an exceptional life, because trust me, there are going to be challenges. There are going to be times that, okay, I had to even trek from my house from work to my house. And most times I have to wake up very early to be able to trek. So nobody will even notice that I even trekked and all the likes. So, but now those things are not paying.
Yeah.
But as at then, I know many people even left, in the marketplace, many people even have to leave before even their settlement period. And most times, anyway, that's that for that. So there are so many challenges. So when even when I became a boss on my own, so my eyes wasn't on maybe what you will give me, the percentage that you are going to give me after I've finished writing my anyway. So most times I do it, I shouldn't lie. I do it and then I'll tell the person that this thing I'm doing, I'm not supposed to do it. I just want to do it because I actually check the rates of what I'm giving you. If it is possible that you are actually going, when you leave my shop, you are going to get it at that same amount elsewhere. But because I reduce the amount for you to sell for you, so I can just write that amount that you need on the invoice. But I later discovered that those things, they don't, you know, that you are not even, you don't even want any profit from this thing. So why even, you are even spoiling the name of your invoice and every, and all the likes. So I just have to just, once they tell me that, I'll tell them, it's better I will just write your invoice as way bill invoice. I'll not add amount to it.
Okay.
And I will close, I'll make sure I close the invoice. I'll write it as way bill invoice. I'll not write the amount to it. Okay, they will say yes. Because I learned it from one of my mentors that there was one lie I told to him, and the lie wasn't that big. It doesn't have weight. I told him that, okay, I told my second that I'm going to church because he mistakenly saw me on the way. I told him I'm going to church. But if you get home, don't tell my boss that you saw me on the road. So I was not telling him, you know, I said that why should I lie? That's there is no point of lying. To an extent, one of the thing I hate in my life is lies. I hate lie like passionately. So what going back to what we are saying, there are so many challenges that is going to come because you are going to be looking at other people's businesses, other people that also works you are going to watch them and you are seeing them growing in some certain way. It seems as if maybe your own growth is slow. And there are also aspects of this part in the local market whereby, okay, maybe a customer needs a particular item and you now take the customer to another shop, bringing it down. And you have to tell the customer that the owner of the shop, that you should top money for. I think to an extent it's business though, but as a Christian, are you supposed to do it or not? It's based on your conscience and your work with God. I wouldn't say yes or no. But to me personally, this thing have helped me because there was a customer I actually took to another shop. I don't even like giving signal. I wouldn't go to that shop and start giving signal. And that customer, after buying the goods that he needed, till today, whenever he needs something, he doesn't need to go to those shop again. He just call me directly. But there are some people that actually grab those opportunities. And when they take the customer, they start giving signals. And most times, the person will just notice, he will observe. That's the end of that business. Because of that quick profit you want to just get at that particular time, you just end the future business that you are supposed to have with that customer. So there are so many challenges because you most times see yourself as if maybe you are not growing. There's this passage in the Bible that also encourages us. It says that when I look on all of all those things and I see their end, I think it's in Psalm 73 verse 17. Until I entered God's sanctuary and I discerned their end. You can check it later. Psalm 73 verse 17. There you can read it. Psalm 73 verse 17.
Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Should I?
You can continue.
Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in the moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors.
Okay. You can see it in slippery places. Most times we just look at some people. We just compare that. Oh, this person is actually doing great, even in fraudulence acts and all the likes. Mm-hmm. But if you know their end, most times the end of a thing is very, look as if it is far. But when it comes, eventually you discover that it is very close. So even in the book of in the life of Jacob and Esau, when Jacob manipulated Esau to get his father's blessing, what happened when he discovered that he wasn't even blessed? He was carried because the Bible says that the blessings of the Lord make it rich, and it added no sorrow. So it was when he was now in that place, when he was going to reconcile with his brother, the Bible said that he met with an angel. That was when the angel now asked him, what is your name? Remember in those times of with his father, Isaac, his father asked him, what is his name? He said he was Esau, his brother. But this time around, the angel now asked him, what is your name? He said, I am Jacob. Then the angel tried to leave. He said, no, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Yeah. That is to show that he didn't receive those blessings that the father gave to him. Then it is the blessing of the Lord that maketh riches. The blessing of the Lord is not riches, but it's the blessing of the Lord that maketh riches. He said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. That was when God now have to change his name. So most times when we are doing some things, not knowing that we have just changed our identity, we have just changed our name, and those blessings will not come as a result of that. So that's my take. There are so many challenges, but just keep the faith. Don't be in a hurry. Blessings of God, it adds no sorrow. So yes, when you get it, you know that you are going to enjoy it. That's my take.
Thank you so much. Insightful style, BK.
Okay, thank you.
So, it says a lot that got my attention, but maybe just move to my home. Yes, what I want to, there is a part that I actually want to, when it comes to competition, when you're doing a business, as a believer, you are not competing. You should collaborate more. Even if you have people selling your goods, I think you can even approach them and collaborate. When you don't have those things, maybe have them. There's a way God actually, works out things for you.
Yes.
If your motive is this. And your motive is very important. I have a lot to say, but let me just leave it that way. So, for the my scholar, like I Bam said, a lot of challenges in the office where your boss will say this. Okay, for me, while I was starting my, I got the need to before I got to this position. I have to face the customer. You facing the customer is another ballgame. You can't tell the customer what is really going on in your company. But you are not meeting up.
Exactly.
The SLAs, because the SLA is being, given to you. So do you want to go to tell your customer that something is happening in your company? That's why we are not meeting up with this person. There is a way, you say all those things and it will be accepted. At times I come and say, hey, babe, I don't know. Have I lied today? Because there's no, when I get, I say, babe, you should have not lied. come on, hear this scenario. Do you understand?
I can relate. Client facing roles are a lot.
I just should have not lied. There was a time it really got me bothered. I had to ask, just like what I said, I had to ask people that have gone ahead of me that they not in the same shoes with me. And this was an accountant for that matter. He said, yes, that they will not lie to me. That. There are things like that, but there is a way the office policy has to be applied. In your true self that this is not lie, nah. No, do you understand? But we now use office policy and things like that, to just cover it up. I'm not the one that lied, this is my line manager. I'm not the one that lied, this, but the truth is so you were saying something like it's not a big lie. when I look at myself, it's quite different from the person that is stealing. That's something you talked about, humility. You just know that what you are saying is the same thing. That person that is stealing the same thing. If you're lying, you're lying.
Yeah.
Just get it into your brain. You're lying. What do you want the Lord to do at this situation now? God, just help me. Let them remove me in this position.
Wow.
Do you understand? Or, Lord, I just need a job. God sees the sincerity of our hearts. Yes. He sees our motives.
Yes.
Very, very important. What is driving you? He sees that motive, that your heart, he sees it. God, I just want to leave this thing. I'm running as in my... Oh, there's no way. When I get home, I would say, babe, oh my... It's just, work from home even helped me at the time. I would say, come and sit down here because I want to be sure I'm lying or I am not lying. You know, because there are some things that are very glaring, you know, but I just find a way. And my customer would say, if you come and start there, she's managing us. Yeah. Because I can't just lie. But I'll just find a way that, you know what I do? I just felt like, I have my director here. I think he has a lot to say about it. Mm. I know what is going on.
I just shifted.
So I just like, God just give me a way of escape.
A way of escape.
So I was just like, why putting the issue on your head when you have your line manager in the meeting? Let him speak now. Because, and again, the scripture said that he that knoweth the truth and does it not, or to him.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you are there and you're maybe another scenario is I'll be in the meeting, my line manager will be saying something. I know it's a lie. And I'll remember that scripture. I was like, gosh. I was like, God, just help me. I'm not doing for this thing. I think I need a change. I want to do something. I want to leave this part of the business. I want to be in the place that I can call a spade a spade. I can do this, I can do that. Unfortunately, the higher you go, the tougher it is, actually. So now presently, I can see that the higher you go, the tougher it is. But what I know is that God will always give you a way of escape. It has worked for me severally. It has worked for me. And I always look at my conscience. It's apparently the motive behind it. And next time I'll get to the office, I'll tell them that I'm not sure I will respond to this question again next time. I need someone to respond to this question. I'm not comfortable. Or what I do at times is I ensure I do my due diligence before the meeting. I'm going to tell my boss that this is what I'm going to say in the meeting. I hope I'm in line. If he says, oh yeah, if you and I say it this way, I say, that is still around. You're not telling that around the truth, but just ensure your conscience is clear and your motive. Do you understand? So these are real life challenges, actually. They're actually real life challenges in workplaces. We all face it every day, you know. There are some challenges that you actually have to leave.
Yes.
We can't stay with it. There's nothing light and darkness cannot. Yeah. Even you will not be comfortable going to the office. Your heart is heavy, you know, and everything. You just have to leave.
Yeah.
So don't...
That way of escape might be that you should leave.
Just exactly. Don't fight it. Just leave. Speak to people. Speak to your fellow believers that have gone ahead of you. How did you do this? How did you do this? How were you able to go about this? You know, my situation is different from your situation. Where we work is quite different, but just speak to someone.
You're right.
Don't isolate yourself. Speak to someone. You know, by isolating yourself, you now start going to the club that because you want to, you know, to be called as part of the people, you know, to reckon with and having. Exactly. So, one of the things that helped me so far, when I get out, then I get home, I tell my husband, come by here, you know, at times I wouldn't record it. They might not know, I say, my ear, this, did I lie? You know, then when I now see maybe, there was a time I saw my in-law, but I'm not sure maybe you can remember, I asked him some questions, explain some things to me. Since then, which are some of the things that I've actually spoken about. Since then, I've had, you know, peers, because you're not the only one in that situation.
Yes. You're not the only one facing that temptation,
my dear sister or brother.
Yeah.
Just speak to someone.
Yeah. Reminds me of 1 Corinthians 10. There's no temptation that has overcome you that is not common to mankind. Yeah. Everybody is going through. Somebody must have gone through what you're doing.
Exactly.
It's not new.
It's not new, you know. But people just tend to old bag and everything.
Yeah.
Just the most important thing is.
Thank you so
much. Yeah, fine.
Thank you so much, Sister Ibike and Christopher.
Welcome.
I've really been so blessed. You know, I'll just start from, you know, where she ended, which is that speaking to people. You know, the Bible tells us that in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. Yeah. So as a person in the marketplace, a person in the office setting, there's nothing that you're going through that nobody should make you feel like, oh, this is the normal way to do things. No. You can speak to people. It doesn't have to even be in your office. But if you have believers in your office, speak to them. If not, you can, like, Sister Ibike speaks to her husband, her in-laws, you know, people that have gone ahead of her, you know. And something else that really stood out for me, too, is this thing of motivation. Because at every point in time, I think that number one question, you at every point in time, you need to keep asking yourself, what is my motivation? Because if your motivation is not right, if it's not in check, then you make a lot of mistakes. And one of the things I could see from what Christopher and Sister Ibike said is like the fear of the Lord. Like the fear of the Lord should drive you. Yes, work may be difficult, but when God, you know, when God sees your desire to please Him at every time, He will definitely provide a way of escape. Sometimes He gives you wisdom, just like she said that. Oh, sometimes she'll be like, okay, let my director answer. That's a wisdom. So don't just feel like you are not helpless. So at every point, let us always let that fear of the Lord drive us. And it also reminded me of something that I read on Instagram. Somebody was defining someone that is God-fearing. And she said that, you know, just because you attend church or serve in church does not mean you are God-fearing. You know, a God-fearing person is someone that trembles at the voice of God. They are quick to repent and delight greatly in obeying the instructions of God. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. So the emphasis is just like you are quick to repent and you delight. You know, you delight in obeying the instructions of God. And I pray that will be, if that is not what is already driving you, the fear of the Lord, which is not that you are afraid of God, or don't get us wrong. You know, if that's not what is currently motivating you, we are really hoping that God will help you to just align, you know, back to His perfect will for you. And don't forget that Youth Week is coming up. It's September 3rd to September 10th. So please anticipate Christ's permission. These conversations are just preparing us for the real meat of the week. All right, see you guys. I want me one last. See everybody. Say bye.
Bye. Bye. Good to be here. Bye.
Bye.